There you go. How we doing? I'm like so pumped for tonight, guys. Like, I'm trying not to jump up and down right now. God's got some awesome things. Can we get the podium? Can we get the podium up here for notes? But God's got some incredible things. So one thing, listen up here. One thing that that we believe here is we believe that God is bigger than us. Am I right? Okay, I got two people that believe. Okay, we believe God's bigger than us, right? Okay, so if God's bigger than us, then when God wants to do something and he wants to work through someone, does he need someone who's of a particular age? No. Does he have to have someone who has this particular gift set? No. God can use anybody for anything. And most of the time, he uses you within your gift set, within the things that he's given you. But sometimes he likes to push you, stretch you outside of your comfort zone. And so one thing we believe is God. I want you to raise your hand if you have breathed today or if your heart has beat today, okay? Raise your hand. There you go. You know what that means? That means God can speak to you. You hear that? So what does that mean? All right, say it. Everybody say it together. God can speak to me. Say that. Yes. So God speaks to you. That's what's so cool. That's what we talk about here. Listen up. When we talk about here, we talk about praying. And I always talk about P-R-A-Y. Do you guys know what that is? Praise, repent, ask, and then what's Y? Yield, which is a much nicer way of saying shut up and listen. Okay? It is this idea that sometimes we treat God as if he is the teddy bear in the sky that we go and we give all our problems to, and he's like our counselor that can't talk back. And we treat God like this when God's real. Am I right? Come on. God is so real, and God wants to speak to you. And that's what's so powerful. God will continue to speak to you. What you just got to do is you got to learn how to hear his voice, right? And so that's one of the things that we work on here. In fact, if there is only one thing that you guys have leaving M&A, if you spend years in M&A and you leave, if there's one thing that you have, that's what I want you to have. I want you to know how to hear the voice of God. And here you will have opportunities, you will have challenges to discover what is it like, because it takes time for you to know who he is, what he sounds like, but pretty soon you'll respond to his voice all the time. You'll hear him speaking all the time because he is always speaking. Just do you have too many things going on in your head? Do you have too many things going on in your heart to hear him, right? So on that, we have some people and our student leadership team, and we don't often praise them and honor them and put them up on a pedestal, but they've been doing a lot. They've been serving all year, and so what we wanted to do, we said, hey, you know what, guys? You've been challenged, and you have been listening and obeying to God all year, and I'll tell you guys what. They have been praying, just like the leadership team, they've been praying for M&A, right? And I want everybody to do that. I want all of you guys praying for us as a whole, right? And so as you pray, remember, you pray, repent, praise, repent, ask, yield, and you listen. You listen. And these are some of the things. They got words that God has spoken to them for emanate, for you guys. And so we got four different speakers today that are coming up, and this is why I'm so pumped. I can't tell you how excited I am for the words that are going to be coming today. And so I want everybody, if you don't have one already, in the backs of the chairs, you'll find paper, notes, and pens. And you guys are going to want to take some notes today. Okay. Every other row on the back of it should have some pens. And so if it's not on the side of the row right by you, it's in the side of the road right in front of you or behind you. Go ahead and grab some pens, some papers. Go ahead and pass them around right now because you guys are going to want to take notes. Okay. And remember, we're an energetic bunch, right? We love Jesus, right? And we love when God speaks something to us through someone else, right? And so we're going to say a lot of amens, right? Come on. And we're going to be preaching. We're going to be like, come on, preacher, right? Come on. And we're going to be encouraging, a little bit of hallelujah, a little bit of give me a witness, right? Come on. That's what we got going on here. And so what I got, I want you guys to be ready to hear from God because God's going to be speaking to you through your classmates, through your peers. Okay. So, first one up, I'm so excited. Can everybody give a huge hand for Jasmine Henry? Come on up, Jazzy. Got this girl. Proud of you.
Okay. So tonight I'm going to be speaking about the underestimated power of our words. So before that, let's pray. Jesus, I just pray that you would speak through me tonight. I just pray that hearts would be open tonight to receive what the speakers are speaking tonight. And we thank you for the things that you're going to do tonight. In your name, amen. Amen. Okay. So, whether you realize it or not, our words are a huge factor in our lives. We as humans can either speak life or we can speak death into every situation. What we choose will then affect our relationships with God, with ourselves and others. So, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So, our relationship with God is by far the most important thing in our lives. He is the center of everything, and before we can speak life, we must cultivate our relationship with God first. So, you need to have a strong relationship with God first. And one of the examples that I have is this children's book called You Are Special. And it talks about Wemmicks, which are dolls, and each Wemmick is given either a gold star or a gray dot for either being, like, super good and, like, singing well or dancing or whatever, or they get a gray dot for having, like, not looking the best or whatever. And so one of the Wemmicks was named Punchinello, and he had only gray dots, and he was super sad. He was like, what the heck? Like, why do I have gray dots? I want gold stars. And so one day, he's, like, you know, doing his thing, and he sees one of the Wemmicks named Lucia, and she has no gray dots or gold stars. And he's, like, what the heck? Like, I want that. That's cool. That's different. And so he asks her, and he's, like, yo, so how'd you get that? What's that happening, like, going on over there? And she was, like, okay, so you're going to have to go see the creator, Eli. And so he goes and to the creator, Eli, and he says that he explains, like, you need to come visit me every single day, just like Lucia does. And if you're not bothered by what others say about you, then those stickers won't stick to you anymore. And he also says, like, you are beautiful and you're created in the way that I made you. And those stickers don't need to stick because what they say is irrelevant. And this is our relationship with God. When we turn to him and listen to the words that God is speaking into us, it doesn't matter what other people say about us, and those stickers no longer stick. So the more time that we spend with him, the more you can hear his voice. And you don't have to worry about what other people say. You need to know this because this is how we begin to speak life into our relationship with God. It's not because God needs it, but it's because, you know, we need it. That's how we can begin to grow our relationship, is because we're speaking life into it. So how can we do this if our foundation isn't strong? This is why we need to speak to God first, is because we need to build that foundation. When you have a cracked foundation, you can't build off of that. Everything's going to shake, and it's going to shift, and it's just going to be a mess. So there's this stat about positive thinking that I thought was really cool. So when, for example, you're taking a test, and you come in, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do horrible. The teacher didn't even teach me anything. I'm going to fail this test. And, you know, I'm not going to go to college because of it. And it's just going to be a whole mess. But if you go into the test thinking, you know, I studied, I'm going to do my best, and doing my best is going to, whatever happens, and I'm going to try my best to do whatever. And the stat is that you're more likely to do better if you think positively, like even better than what you think. So, yeah, pretty cool. So keep that in mind. So for example, like if every day you're thinking to yourself, like, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, you'll soon begin to believe it. And that voice in your mind is going to become a habit. So every day you're going to be like, wow, that girl's so pretty, and I'm not. I'm just an ugly mess, and I'm so dumb. I'm never going to be like her. But even things that are smaller, like I'm bad at math, those things make a difference in our lives, believe it or not. So if our words have this much power over a math test or over math or spelling or whatever, imagine what we could do when we're speaking life into ourselves. If we're thinking those things, that changes everything. Proverbs 10:11 says, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain, and the words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. So our tongue is a fountain that can make things grow. If you think of your body as a rose, we can speak life over to ourselves, and that is like watering ourselves, and we can begin to grow. So once we grow, we're able to speak life over yourselves, then you can speak life into others and begin to lead them. So for example, I heard about this like statistic in my French class because I was taking a test and we had a sub and she told us that, and I began to apply it into show choir. So every time before like a competition or before like warm-ups or whatever, I'd always be like, okay, you know what, Jasmine, you're going to be the best that you've ever been. You're going to dance the hardest that you've ever danced. You're going to have the best facials ever. And I felt it. Like after that performance, I was like, wow, I did so good. But so when you do that, in turn, you can speak that into other people. Like someone would walk up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, Jasmine, I'm so nervous. Or like, I don't know, the space is so dead. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'd be like, you know what? You don't need to worry because you're this, this, and this, and we're this. And this is just speaking life into you. And this is something that encourages others. Like, have you ever noticed before, like you'll be at like a choir concert or like a sporting event and like your teacher or your teammates are like super upset. And then you're like, what the heck? Why is it so like gloomy, like so glum? That is the power of words. One thought, one word can change a whole atmosphere, and that's the effects that can happen because of it. So now that you're able to speak life into God and yourselves and others, you're then able to protect yourself from those spiritual attacks. So like I mentioned earlier, our bodies being a rose, roses have thorns. Thorns protect those roses. So when we're equipped with the word of God and we know what his truths are, then we're able to distinguish those things. So like when you should speak, when you shouldn't speak, or like what to say. And doing this, you're then able to filter and identify the lies of the enemy. And instead of believing it, you'll speak truth over it. So instead of believing I'm ugly, I'd be like, you know what? I'm beautiful, and God created me the way I've been created, you know? So, yeah. And then remember that it takes time and that no one's perfect at it. James 3:2-5 says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in his mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but in a tiny spark, you can set a great forest on fire. So remember that, like, you know, people mess up and that's okay, but every day you have the choice to speak life or death. And maybe one day, you know, you're just not thinking so positively, and that's okay because the next day you can change that. You could be like, you know what, yesterday was a bad day, but today I'm going to speak life into someone and I'm going to encourage them. So we can begin to change these mindsets and relationships around us by doing these things. So yeah.
You're good. You're good. Great job. That was awesome. Okay, everybody, right now, take a second to jot down what are you going to get from this? What did you get out of this? Jot it down. What are you going to say? Think about all the things that you say to yourself, that you think about yourself, that you need to stop right now, right? You need to stop thinking those things and you need to catch yourself. So jot down some of those things that you're going to cancel. Jot down some of those things that you're going to change. What are those things that you're going to speak because of it? Jazzy? Awesome. So good. So good. Awesome. Next up, if you guys aren't still writing, I want you to put your hands together for Jesse. Come on up.
So I'm just going to pray before we start. God, I pray that you just come into this place right now and anoint every single word that I have to say. I pray that it flows from your heart and that I can just be a reflection of who you are today, God. I pray that you convict hearts in here, and I just thank you for everything that you're going to do tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so a long time ago, Pastor Drew told us that if you can't believe the words that you sing in worship or live them out for yourself, then don't sing it. And ever since then, I've been conscious of the lyrics and the songs that we sing, and I can't listen to them the same way. So that being said, during the summer, while we were singing a worship song, I was just in the zone. I looked up, and I saw the words, "A passion worthy of your name," on the screen. And it just caught me off guard because I was like, God, I don't know what that is, but like, I really want that. Because those words held a lot of power. It seemed like such a radical idea that in me, I could have something that was worthy of God's name. So while writing this, I got a revelation, and basically it's just that, yeah, humans are incapable of creating anything that God needs, but we were created with the purpose of sharing the good news. Therefore, while he may not necessarily need, our help in spreading that news, he wants our hearts to be devoted to glorifying him and that purpose every single day. So that's why we should strive for a passion worthy of his name, because A, it fulfills his will, and B, it reflects who he is. So what does a passion look like that devotes its heart to glorifying him every day? First of all, it's not shy. And I'm not talking about introvert versus extrovert. I mean, like, whether explicitly we share what we believe, people know where we stand, because our actions speak a lot louder than our words, and it tells other people what our relationship with God means to us. So for example, I have school friends that don't love Jesus, and they just don't talk about certain topics in front of me because they know that, like, I'm either going to change the subject or I'm not going to contribute to the conversation. And while they might not necessarily agree with what I believe, they respect that because they know it's important to me. So also, a person with a holy passion lives like they have a purpose. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So I took this to mean that God blesses and multiplies the work that we do for his kingdom. And we should always seek first the kingdom agenda, because in that there is guidance and there is prosperity. You never have to question if you've been called, because if you have breath in your lungs, God's equipped you with what you need to do what he set before you. And then a passion worthy of God's name also worships always. 1 Chronicles 16:29 commands us to ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name, bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Guys, it's not always easy to declare that God is good. And I'm sure you know that, because there are going to be times where we wonder if God even sees what's going on around us or why he would let a certain thing happen. But the God that created the heavens and the earth and the God that rose Jesus from the dead hasn't changed since he did those things. If you've seen him be good once, he's going to be good again. Sacrificially worship too, even if your soul is tired, because when you enthrone him in your heart and declare that he is a king worthy of your praise, your eyes are going to be open to his faithfulness. Moreover, to other people, our worship is a testimony, because even if they don't know the reason why you can declare that your God is worthy of your praise, they're going to see that something is different about what you worship versus about what they go home and worship every day. Another aspect about a deep passion is that it doesn't act quickly in the flesh or on fleshly desires. So there are going to be times when we're tempted to act out of anger or be quick to judge people or take up the invite of our friends that party every weekend or try something just once because it can't be as bad as they say. But Galatians 5:24 says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So because we are dead to ourselves, when we declare God's rule over our lives, we don't have to fall into temptation. But of course, we're human, and we will. It's important, though, that when we do, we run towards the cross, because in the presence of Jesus, we're equipped to fight in the spirit, because our battle isn't even against flesh to begin with. And lastly, a passion worthy of God's name puts trust in him. So a couple weeks ago, my coworker walked into work, and she really shouldn't have been there. She was like sick as a dog, and she started getting sick at the beginning of the week. It just got worse. Doctors didn't know what was going on. So when she walked in, I just felt God asked me to pray for her, and I was like, hold on, she's not Christian, there's customers at the counter, kind of doing our own things. We have good friendship going. Like, let's, you know. But this went on for about 10 minutes, and eventually God was just like, I'm asking you to do that right now. So when we didn't have a rush, I had to decide that obedience was worth risking that friendship. So I went up to her, and I said, hey, Allie, I know this might be weird, but can I pray for you? And she goes, yeah, sure. So I did, and that was that. We went our separate ways after that, did our thing. And then a couple days later, I went into trade shifts with her. And right before she left, she turns around and goes, hey, thanks again for praying for me the other day. I woke up the next day and I thought of you, and because she felt better. And so she wasn't saved or anything, but I planted a seed because she saw the faith that I had and she felt God move. The reason why I share that story is to say that sometimes to see what God has for us, we have to take a risk and just trust that he's going to show up. Whether that be in making future plans, giving financially, being a light in your work or your home or your school, taking a test, thank him before the miracle comes. Because there is so much peace to be found when we surrender things that we don't even have control over in the first place, knowing that there is a good, pleasing, and perfect will behind that. So by all these standards, having a passion worthy of God's name is tough. But in order to see fruit in our lives, we have to sacrifice, because if it was easy, we wouldn't be able to see God's goodness. We would already know exactly what that was to the full extent. But because we don't, we have the opportunity to pursue him. And in doing that, we can be the beginning of a chain reaction where the will of God manifests in our lives and the lives around us. So for every person in this room, fostering that sort of passion is going to look different and it's going to bring discomfort. You might have to risk friendships. You might have to rearrange the way you think about other people or remanage your time or say no to something that you desire. I have a question for you, though. Is the eternity of the lives around you worth that?
Dang. A passion worthy of God's name. Who wants to have that, right? Come on, have a passion worthy of God's name. Man, I love it. I love it. I want for that to be what defines us here. Your wrists, your hands are probably going to be getting tired here, guys, because we're just getting started. God is moving. But I want to see one thing real quick. I want to see one thing that stood out to someone in here from Jesse's message. I want to hear real quick. What's one note that you took that stood out? Right here. Call it out. Come on. You never have to question. Anna, what was yours? Yes. So good. So good. So I'm cheating. Because they sent in their notes, and so I have their notes. That wasn't even in your notes, was it? Yeah, that's what we call the Holy Spirit. Okay. Man, I loved that. So good. So good. Awesome. Next up, can we give, stretch out your wrist. We're going to need it. Okay. There you go. Forearm, whatever you got to do. All right. Give a hand to Josiah Gertis. Come on up, Josiah!
Hey, guys. So, as most of you guys know, I've been in the church my whole life. I've, like, grown up in the church, and I can't remember, like, more than 2 Sundays that I've skipped church besides being sick. So, what I want to speak about is something that is taught in the church a lot, but it's not really taught how, and people don't really know how to do it. So I'm just going to pray before I start. God, I pray that you'll just give me the words to speak tonight. God, give me the things to say, and the God, give people the ears to hear, and even beyond my mistakes and stuff, God, just I pray that people will hear what I'm saying, and my message will get across in your name. All right, so since I was a kid, since I can remember, people in the church have been teaching that you're never too young to hear God's voice. They use the story of Samuel when he's a boy, and they say you're never too young to hear God's voice, and that proves that. But when I was a kid, I never knew how to hear God's voice, and I didn't even know what God's voice sounded like. This lasted all the way up until, I would say, around, like, sophomore year of high school. I couldn't figure out what God's voice actually sounded like, and I couldn't distinguish my own thoughts from God's voice in my head. And so about sophomore year of high school, God, I was, like, worshiping, and I felt a voice that was, like, I knew it was God. And he told me, I'm the same God that was in the garden with Adam and Eve and that walked closely with them and that talked to them. And I'm that God now. So I'm actually here to have a close relationship with you and to be intimate with you and just, like, talk to you all the time of your life. So I believe that God's speaking all the time. And the problem is not God not speaking. It's us not being able to distinguish God's voice from the other voices in our head. So we all have voices speaking into our lives. These voices can be voices of parents, of siblings, of classmates, teachers, and we can't always escape these voices. If you have them, if you have voices speaking lies into your life from, like, a friend, you can walk away from that friend. But in school, you can't walk away from those lies all the time from teachers. So how do we not allow those lies to dictate what our life is, and how do we allow them not to dictate who we are? Because the voices we listen to shape us into who we are. The voices that are speaking into our lives are the ones that shape us into who we are. The voices that we hear don't have to shape us into who we are. Something that is key to having a relationship with God is being able to distinguish which voice is God's and which lies we are believing. One of my favorite preachers, he's the pastor of Mosaic Church in Los Angeles. His name's Irwin McManus, and he said, God's voice is the one voice fighting against all of the other voices in your head. And Satan would want nothing more than to see you believe the opposite of who God says you are. Satan's main goal is to try to get you to believe the lies that you're not who God says you are, and that you're the complete opposite of who God says you are. Because in God's voice, there is life, and he's the one that speaks life into our broken areas and speaks life into those places that we don't find ourselves complete. We may be broken in those areas, and that's where God speaks life into. Because of the fall, we are glitched, incomplete, messed up, and dead. But God speaks his life into our soul. He completes those broken areas of us. But how can we understand and how can we distinguish God's voice from these voices in our head? How can we tell which voice is God's? When we treasure the voice of God, our hearts become soft to it. And so we have to learn that when we hear the voice of God, we have to really treasure that, and we have to hold that above every other voice in our head. Hebrews 3:15 says, remember what it says. Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And I think that's so awesome, because when Israel rebelled, they hardened their hearts and they couldn't hear God's voice anymore. They became deaf to God's voice and deaf to God's will for their nation. And that's when their nation fell apart. And that's what this is talking about. God doesn't force his voice on you. But if you hear his voice and don't respond, your heart will become hard. So we just had Unplugged a few weeks ago. And I know that a lot of times people hear God's voice for the first time there. And that's just a big breaking point where people actually start to hear God's voice. And I think this is such an important time in your life to treasure the voice of God and to actually know what his voice sounds like. And don't let your heart become hard to that. Don't, if he's telling you to do something, like Jesse said, if he's telling you to do something, don't just, like, not do that, because that will make your voice, that will make you become hard to his voice. You won't be able to hear what he's saying beyond that, because if you're not doing what he's telling you to do in that moment. Sometimes you can't identify God's voice because you haven't trained yourself to hear his voice. And that's where the Bible comes in. The Bible is God's voice, and it's his words put onto a paper. And it's the purest form of his words that you'll ever be able to find. You can never find something so pure as the Bible, because every word in there is God's word. The Bible is this idea of the words of God being given to man. And that's how we can train ourselves to hear the voice of God. We can hear what God sounds like, hear what his heart is for us. And when you train yourself by reading the Bible of who God is and what he sounds like, that's when you'll actually be able to, to hear his voice and actually know which one is his and which one are just the voices that you're believing about yourself that aren't true. And I just want to leave you guys with this. Are the voices you are allowing to speak into your life lies or truth? And are you allowing God to speak into your life or the other voices? And let me challenge you, spend time with God and listen to word to hear his voice in the whisper, because he speaks in a whisper like Elijah, when Elijah was looking for God's voice in the fire and in the wind and the earthquake, and he didn't find it in any of those places. He found it in the whisper. It's because God speaks to our soul, and God knows what's the most important part of us, and he knows that's where we need to hear it. So when you hear that voice in your soul, when you hear the quiet whisper, then just listen to that and don't harden your heart to that.
So good, man. So good. I love it. I love it. Hearing God's voice, the best way to learn to hear God's voice. Where did he say it was? In the Bible. Yes. I love it because, you can't, so I think about this. It's a lot like a baby. So we have three kids and every time, I think Araya, our third, who had kind of a dramatic birth and emergency C-section. She was in the NICU, and my wife, her mom, couldn't hold her for the first 24 hours of her life. She couldn't even see her. And it was so hard. She finally birthed this child that she's been carrying for months. She couldn't even hold this child because she had to go immediately into the NICU. And so... 24 hours later, my wife gets wheelchaired up into the NICU, and she holds Araya for the first time. And the whole time Araya's been alive, she's been going like this, and like she'll look around a little bit, and then she'll go back to sleep. Morgan holds her, and she says, "Hey, baby, hey, Araya," and for the first time, her eyes lit up, and she wouldn't blink. Now, Morgan had no clue that how magical this was. She hadn't seen Araya the whole time, and I'm like picking my jaw up off the floor. Like, this is insane. What's going on is Araya has heard Morgan's voice the whole time she was in the womb, right? And so that's what you're doing. You are, when you're reading the Bible, you're learning to hear what the voice of your father sounds like. And that when you see, and when God begins speaking to you through prayers, and when God speaks to you in a moment, and you get a Jesse moment where you're like at work, and then it's like, hey, you need to go pray with that girl. And you're like, whoa, what? It's that, I know that voice. I know it. Isn't that so cool? Man, come on. What else? That's what I got out of this. What else did you guys get out of Josiah's message? I want to see what a note that you wrote down. Josiah. God's voice is the one voice fighting all the other voices in your head. Sally. Oh, man. God speaks life into our incomplete and broken errors. Last one, Nick. Yes. It's not that God's not speaking, it's that we can't distinguish it. Man, I love it. Who's ready to like hear the voice of God? Who wants to be like, man, I want to hear it. I want to respond because God's always speaking, right? Come on. I love it. So last one we got. I'm so excited. If you haven't jot down like your takeaway, what are you going to take away from Josiah's message? Go ahead, jot that down. How are you going to learn to hear the voice of God? Okay. Last person we got Hallie. Hallie, come on up, girl.
Hi, guys. Okay, so I just want to share with what my purpose is of, not my purpose, what I will be sharing with you, what I God placed in my heart to share with you guys. So, God has uniquely designed you with natural gifts and supernatural gifts that work together to make you who you are. So I'm just going to jump right into this, and I'm just letting you guys know that this is actually really hard for me. So I'm just going to jump into a testimony that happened this year for me, and I just really hope it speaks to you and kind of share how I came out of it and how God was so cool and revealed himself to me. So I'm just going to read it because it's... Anyway, so in October, I was under the most stress I have ever experienced in my life. I had a great opportunity to go to Mexico with a friend for a week. But within that, I had to go ahead of school and get prepared. Within this time, I was experiencing crazy spiritual warfare that was very to me and taking a toll on my body. Within this time, my relationship with Jesus started to fall, and by November, I was spending little to no time with him at all. And I want you guys to remember that, because that is a key factor of why I fell, is because my relationship with Jesus started to crack. By December, I put all my identity into other things, friends, my work, and my family. This crazy warfare was still going on and stronger than ever. I became so beaten down by words from every area in my life that I had valued. I dove into the ground so quickly, and almost every time I was at work or with friends, I was told I was negative and too stressful to be around. I remember deciding it wasn't healthy for me to come to church or be on student leadership. "You're fake and unwelcomed" were lies I began to believe. I began to break and dive deeper. December 29, 2017, I hit my limit. Lies were spoken to me, and I believed I was made wrong, and my personality wasn't how God intended. The night before, I had a dream, and a demon was with me in a white room. There was only a white table with a razor on it. He kept handing it to me and saying to get rid of the pain. I woke up the next morning in denial. I said I would never harm myself in that way, and I went on with my day. As the day went on, I felt so abandoned by everyone. It was one of the hardest days I've ever experienced in my life. One after the other, I believed every lie I was told that day, and I broke down. I was crying so hard, and I couldn't breathe. I locked myself in my room. In that dark moment, I began to cut myself with a pair of scissors I found on the floor until I felt the pain. I told God I couldn't tell this to anyone. And within that, he showed me so much grace, because I was at a conference that I didn't want to go to. I was being really selfish. I was like, "God, my weekend, are you kidding?" And I told him that I would never tell anyone and that we were going to work it out. I was like, "I can get through this. It's fine. I can get through this with God. I'm like, I've been in the church. I know how to do this." And I told God that if anyone were to know, he would tell them. And so that night, I was sitting in a pew, and I was upstairs, and the conference had been long over, and I was just sitting there, and I remember I told God I just needed a hug. I just needed to know he was there, and I just needed to know that he still loved me and he was with me. And in that moment, Lisa came over to me and just gave me a hug, and that's when I knew. I was like, okay, we're going to work through this. And then, so within that month, I still felt super broken. I couldn't find my spot with God again. I couldn't get back into feeling his love. And then Out of Darkness came. And I remember I was in a meeting, and I felt so shameful, because I was just like, I'm praying for these kids to break something that I'm going through, and I'm too ashamed to say. So how can I expect to pray for them to get out of this if I'm not going to get out of myself? So I remember sitting that night, and I just kept telling God, I was just like, I'm not happy with you, because I was shaking, and I knew I kept getting prompted by the Holy Spirit. He's like, I don't care. And I knew altar was going to come, and I knew I'd have to get up out of my chair and go to the front, and I didn't want anyone to know. I felt like I had such a reputation that I had to uphold, that with me breaking down would break others down. So back in September, Kevin and Lisa gave us, the student leaders, a challenge. And we all had topics that we were supposed to share our revelations on. And so mine was of supernatural gifts. And they gave all of us different topics and not knowing how it would impact our lives. So I wasn't scheduled to speak until February. And we had this since like August, September. So it was a long time. And when I studied this, what I learned is that my natural gifts and my supernatural gifts help shape who I am in Christ and how it's knitted together so perfectly for him. That my natural gifts link arms with my supernatural gifts and made me who I am. So when I say natural gifts, I just want to kind of explain that to you guys, and like kind of what I studied was. So examples of these, and they are not limited to these things. is being an introvert, being an extrovert, being athletic, creative, intelligent, beautiful. You travel well, you take charge. People who follow direction, humility, financially stable, and musically inclined. When I say this, guys, this is such a small percentage of natural gifts that God has given to us on this earth, okay? So what I just shared there, that is not only what natural gifts are, because every single person has something different. So since I had supernatural gifts, I wanted to see how this could apply to my life and how it would change, you know, what I was going through or just kind of the revelation I would have. So when I'm speaking of supernatural gifts, the definition is these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to individuals, but their purpose is to build up the entire church. So these gifts are not for ourselves. They're by the entire church. That's us. That's community. We're the body of Christ. So some examples of these spiritual gifts are prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy, which is having compassion and wanting to lessen the suffer of others, words of wisdom, which is a speaking gift that helps speak forth biblical truths, words of knowledge, which is truth and understanding of God in deeper ways, faith, healing, miraculous powers that are only powers given by God, distinguishing between the spirits, which is knowing good and evil spirits to protect the church, speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. And when I began to study this, what kept coming to my mind is that every physical body, like if you're going to take an actual physical body, for example, nothing on it is the same. My left hand to my right hand is not the same. They may have similar functions, but one can do something better than the other. I drive with one, I don't drive with the other, which is not good. But so which me saying that is that if you want to use a physical body as an example, there's nothing on your body that is the same, not one thing. And so 1 Corinthians 12:14-18 says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. When I dove into that scripture, and I was just really asking God, what are you speaking to me through this? Lisa popped into my head, and he just showed me that, you know, Lisa and I have a lot of natural gifts in common. We're both super passionate, and we're, like, really excited all the time, and we can be loud, but he also shared with me that our spiritual gifts and our supernatural gifts are different, and that's how we're going to impact the kingdom in different ways. It's because we're not the same. We may have similar things in common, just like your hands, but they're not the same. And within learning that, I was like, I can't compare, because I am still in transition, and I'm still growing, and I still struggle. And I began to compare myself to be something like I wasn't for others' sake, because others was telling me, it did become myself, but it wasn't like I didn't think I looked right, or I didn't think, you know, that my hair did this, my hair did that. It was that I honestly believed that I was changing who God made me to be for myself, when really I wasn't at all, that I was just not believing God's truth in who I was. So I did another example of this, and out of all my examples, this is the one that stuck with me. So, and I might be totally wrong on this, but I'm going to use football, because a lot of you like football. So God was telling me, so if Hallie is a left tackle, okay, and I want to be the quarterback, and I'm going to be really selfish about that, and I'm not going to do my job, and the quarterback is going to get sacked, and we're not going to advance and do what God wants us to do in his kingdom. Because not a lot of people have that role, and God specifically put me on this earth to play that role. And if I don't play that role, then what he wants to do in the kingdom cannot be done, because I'm not doing what's in my role and how he made me to be. So with that, you can't be envious. Because if I was envious of the quarterback and I stopped what I was doing, we're not going to get anything done, and we're not going to score. So don't hinder someone else's gift and put them down, because they are not meant to be like you, and you are not meant to be like them. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. What stands out to me in that And every single time I read something like this, is he knew me when I was in my mom's womb, before I was. He literally knew what family I was going to go to, what siblings I would have, what friends I would have, my personality, things that would upset me, things that make me excited. If you're a joyful person or if you're normally pretty serious, he already knew all that. And he's telling you, do not change that for anything or for anyone, because I made you that way. And then Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago." Again, long ago. Guys, God already, he already set you exactly how you want. He wanted you. Everything from your skin color to your hair texture to your personality. Guys, he set that so specifically for your role. Like, a quarterback, they have to have an arm to throw. If they don't have an arm to throw, they're not going to be a quarterback. I'm just going to tell you that. So within that, God gave you specific gifts that you can't change or you cannot fill your role in his kingdom. Okay. So what I learned from all this is that my natural gifts and who God made me to be, and maybe if I am over the top or, you know, I can get stressed out really easy or I put things on my shoulders, that all of that links arms with, like, my supernatural gifts to make me exactly who I am and who I'm supposed to be in Christ. And I learned I am worth it. I am so worth it, and God delights in me. And he soars when he sees that I'm soaring and that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do for his kingdom. I learned I am different than everyone else on earth. Not two people will not be the same, because if God made two Lisas, well, if Lisa and I were the same person, one of us would not be here. Because he sets every single person apart that there cannot be two of you. So you can't try to be like someone else, and someone cannot try to be like you, because you have to be so steadfast in who he made you to, and who he made you to be, or you will fall. I also learned that I'm going to struggle, and I'm probably going to struggle with this for most of my life. And I will even say, in this past week, deciding if I was going to share this or not, or just as the week went on, guys, I started falling back to, like, man, well, if I was just doing that, then maybe I'd be able to do this. And then God squashed it right away. And I stood on the truth, and I stood on these verses, and I said that that's not going to be this week, because the devil's not going to attack me, because I already conquered this, and I'm not going to go back to it, so he can't make me go back to it. So if there's only three things that you guys take away from this, I want it to be that, one, your part in who you are in Jesus is so unique. Guys, it's so unique that you can't be anybody else. No matter how hard you try, guys, no matter what you go through to be like someone else, you just can't. Second thing is, as we hear this all the time, but you have to believe it, that you can't listen to the world. Because, guys, it's like we're going up a river, and that river is the world, and you have to go against it. You have to go against the current. And we hear this all the time, but until you believe it, you will understand that you have to go against it, or the world. Guys, people who are close to you, guys, friends, I felt like I couldn't come to church, the place that is so sacred and safe, because of lies I was believing, because I wasn't shutting out the world. And I walked away from Jesus, who's one who's supposed to be behind me, pushing me up that current. And lastly, that there should be no shame in who God made you to be, because the image of God is enough. I remember hearing that, like, when did it stop being enough to be made in God's image? And that's something that has stuck with me this entire time. So I just encourage you, know every part of you is made so perfectly for his kingdom and for his glory.
Man, I love it. Yeah, if the band can come up real quick. I want to see, while the band's coming up, what stood out to you? What stood out to you, Mary? Yeah, her last three notes. Your part in who you are in Jesus is so unique, you can't be anyone else. You can't listen to the world, and there should be no shame in who God made you to be, because the image of God is enough. That's so good. What else? What stood out to you? You have to be steadfast in who he made you to be, or you will fall. One more. Yes. Yeah, that was Jasmine as well. Your words are so powerful, and they bring life or death. I love this. I love, because man, some of the things that stood out to me as a, so I'm the youth pastor here. I love it. And everybody stand up with me real quick. Okay. So I pray over you guys all the time. Okay. Look up here. Okay. We don't have much longer. Just look up here. I pray over you guys all the time. And when I see you guys and I'm praying over you guys, I see so many different people. Okay. We have so many different people in this room. There's not one person that's the same. And just like Hallie was saying, you weren't meant to be the same. And in the body of Christians were described in the Bible as the body of Christ. Many parts, one body. You serve a different role. You have a different purpose. God has called you for something special, for something unique, to use what He's given you. And I want to say, man, I think the part about Hallie's story, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much. That's the vulnerability, the openness. Thank you. The part that I think broke my heart the most, and I need you guys to listen to this, is that in her brokenness, the one place she felt she couldn't go was here. And that's not right, guys. In fact, if we're talking about the body of Christ, a much better picture, a much better idea of it is a whole bunch of broken people coming together, right? We're a lot of parts of the body, and every single one of us is incomplete. Every single one of us is broken. Every single one of us has problems. And I want to say, if you're broken, if you feel weak, if you feel beat down, if you feel defeated, that this is the place for you to come. The enemy's going to say the exact opposite. That, hey, you're too dirty. You're too sinful. You're not good enough. You can't do that. You shouldn't be there. You're not a church type person this week. Sorry, you're just not good. You shouldn't go. That's what the enemy's going to be speaking. And I want to say, man, if you're hurting, if you're broken, if you're feeling weaker than ever, then that's the week that you make sure that you come. And here, as a group, we need to embrace brokenness in our brothers and sisters. We need to embrace the battles that we're going through. We need to come side to side, link arm in arm. We need to come together and battle through this stuff together and come out of this darkness together. That's who we're called to be. So I'm just going to take some time, and I just want for us all, everybody, bow your head, close your eyes, and we aren't going to do a real formal altar call where you come up, but what I want you to do is I just want you, right where you're at, just to close your eyes and talk to God and figure out what is it that you're going to do with this. What is the encouraging word that you're going to give? What are the gifts that you're going to use? What are the things that you're going to be speaking over yourself? What are the things that you're going to be believing about yourself and your brokenness and what you love about yourself and what you don't? What are the things that you are going to be believing about hearing the voice of God and pursuing that? What are the things that you are going to be doing because of this? God has a different message for everybody, and if there's something that He's got standing out to you, there's something that He's got standing out to you, that's Him highlighting His words in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's you hearing the voice of God. If one statement, one phrase, one idea stood out to you more than anything else, that's the Holy Spirit. And I just want for all of us right now, what we're going to do is we're just going to pray together. And we're going to pray. It's okay. Here, we can pray out loud, right? We're going to pray out loud here. And what we're going to do is we're just going to pray together and we're just going to talk to God. And we're going to start believing for what's to come. We're going to start believing in the victory that God has for us. If you got brokenness inside of you, just start giving that to God. If you have been speaking things over you that are lies of the enemy, just start speaking out, call out truths over your life. If you have a friend that's been doing that, or if you've spoken lies over your friend, start speaking truth and encouragement over them. If you go, man, I just don't have the passion. I don't have a passion that's worthy of His name. Start calling out. Start bringing up and birthing that passion inside of you. It's coming out of your heart. It's coming out of your gut. This is where it's coming. So we're all going to pray together here. And we're just going to start calling out the things that God has placed on your heart. Start calling it out. What you're saying is you aren't saying, God, please give me. You're saying, God, I am. God, I will. God, I'm gonna. God, this is who I am. This is what's going to happen, all right? We're going to declare this. We're going to prophesy this. Everybody, on the count of three, we're going to start praying. One, two, three. Come on, start praying. God, I'm believing.